I'm hoping that you're on that. Let me further explain. Let me give you a visual, because I'm a girl who needs visuals. I want you to think about God's will as a backyard, as a fenced-in backyard where you would send your children to play. Now, this particular illustration is not my own, but I'm going to jump off of what I've heard from someone else, and I'm going to define some terms for you. Now, in this backyard, I heard this from a radio pastor, and it just really set me free as far as God's will is concerned, and knowing that I'm operating within it, and that I've not missed my whole life's calling because I chose A instead of B, or one opportunity over another, or in a season of sin that I miss out on still being able to be useful for Him. This is a great visual. The backyard. You send your children out to play. Think of it in this way. There is a fence around that backyard, and within that backyard, there are several different activities. There might be a swing set. There might be a seesaw. There might be a teeter-totter. Whatever different things you would typically see on a playground. Okay, here's where my part comes in. The fence, girls, around that backyard are God's commands. Those are the things that box us in. Those are the things that keep us safe. Those are the things that say you can come this far, but no farther. This is the difference between obedience and disobedience. And yes, there are times when we can jump that fence and be completely outside of the will of God. But we're assuming at this point that we're inside the fence. We're inside the commands. We are a woman who is prayed up, that we know the heart of God, that we are abiding in Him, and we are inside this backyard. There may be multiple opportunities for service or for play or for pleasure or for God's will for you in that backyard. There might be some different things. And I'm going to tell you something that I'm telling you, it revolutionized my thinking. It set me free to think that as long as I'm within God's commands, I can choose any one of those things and know that God is completely pleased with me, and that I will find satisfaction in whichever one of those things that I chose. Is that making sense to y'all? Now let me just go on to say this. When you are in that backyard, and if you have a choice between playground equipment A, B, or C, and you choose B, going back to the concept of abiding in the heart of God, of His will, of us being able to, let me go back and find where it is I'm looking for here. When we go back and we have said that our will must originate in His heart, and we said that when we're abiding, we can trust our will to line up with His, and we went on John 15:7 and said that when His word is abiding in us, and whatever we wish, we can ask for, and He will give it to us. Now, here's the fabulous thing about this whole concept, this imagery. You can know that if you are abiding in Him in this backyard, that if you choose equipment B, if you choose the seesaw over the swing set, then ultimately that is what God wanted for you to begin with. And we can get in some real deep theology here if we want to get into God's causative will and Him causing us to want what He wants and then making sure that we do what He wants. We're not going to go and dive in there, but I just want to address it in case some of you are thinking, if you've heard of that before, maybe you're thinking about that. We're not going that far in, but I'm just going to tell you that I do believe with all my heart that when we are a woman walking in the Spirit, our face to the floor, our hands to the sky, when we're laid bare before Him and we're walking in His will and we're fully operating within what it is that He would have us to do, then when we choose something in obedience, when we are just saying, God, I'm not sure if this is the right thing, but this sounds like something I would enjoy. It resonates with me. I know it's something I would love. Then in that case, His will is for us. It is not of us. You get that? His will is not of us, but it's for us. It is for our enjoyment. He will not command us to do that to which we are called. He is not going to make you do your calling. You can miss it. You can miss it. You can miss the satisfaction of having not done what He's called you to do. You can jump that fence and never enjoy any of that equipment that's in the backyard. But I'm just telling you, girls, that as long as we're operating within it, if we choose whichever one resonates with us, He is going to give us joy in stepping into whatever ministry that He has given you inclination in your heart to do. And that moves us to our last point. Do not be afraid to test the waters. Don't be afraid to test the waters. And I've put on here a definition of tragedy. And if any of you girls love Casting Crowns like I do, then you've heard the song from the Altar in the Door CD called Somewhere in the Middle. And there's a verse in there that talks about how we dwell in this middle place and we get comfortable with mediocrity. And one of the phrases I've always loved most is that we can have a deep water faith but wade in the shallow end. We're only ankle deep in faith. We have a deep faith. We know God, and maybe we believe in Him, but we don't believe Him for all the promises that He has towards us. And we're afraid to jump out in that deep end and just trust Him to keep us afloat in what it is that He's called us to do. It's a tragedy to wade ankle deep in a deep water faith that God's called us to do. I don't think there's anything wrong with the concept of this, of following our impulses and knowing that your God will never be disappointed over your acting on something that is just purely an impulse. Now, I'm going to share with you just my own experience, something that's happened with me in my life in ministry, and how God has truly formed it out of something that I never dreamed it was what He was really directing me to do. But because I would like to characterize myself as a woman who does walk in the Spirit, who does pray every day, who is always seeking His will, because these impulses were in me, I have to believe that they were His heart towards me, and He was just working through my impulsiveness, whatever word it is that you want to say. So now I'm butchering the English language. He worked through that to form my ministry because He knew I didn't have enough sense to do it on my own. First of all, first impulse that He gave me was to begin a blog. I didn't even know what a blog was. I just saw one day, and it was just, I accidentally tripped upon it, and I thought, well, how cool is that thing? And I figured out that the girls that had commented, that if I clicked on their names, that it would take me to another blog. And before you knew it, I had found Christian Women Online, and I found a blog roll that had 2,000 blogs on it, and I was hooked forever. And within 2 hours, I had one of those. Because I thought, you know, how cool is that? I was always a journaler. I loved writing, and it just seemed like the next natural thing. It's just something, you know, something else for me to do. Had no desires for it whatsoever other than to just be a dumping ground for my dailiness. That's the only reason I began it. Once I got on that blog, I got connected through, again, just one in a million connection with a woman by the name of Bonnie Bruno. She has a blog by the name of Macro Moments. You may have heard of her. She is a dear friend and mentor to me. She was a writer on Christian Women Online. She ran across my blog just in passing when I first started on WordPress. She sent me a sweet note, and for some reason, she saw something in me that I did not see in myself. She sent a note over to Darlene Schacht of Christian Women Online and suggested that maybe she find a place for me to be able to write on that online magazine. When I got that invitation, I was absolutely blown away that starting this blog on an impulse would have anything to do with me having the opportunity to write anything that anybody would read in this type of a published format. Blew me away, thrilled me to death. As I continued on, and I realized I enjoyed writing in this type of environment. I like publishing things. I like the instant feedback and being able to commune with the girls that I felt like I was communicating with. God just directed me one day. It was after we had had a women's Bible study for our home church. We had had a retreat, and the study, several of the girls weren't able to go because we had traveled to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, and we'd stayed in cabins, and we had done a full-blown retreat. Several women were not able to come, and they had expressed their disappointment in not being able to hear the lessons. And so I thought, you know what, for those girls, I'm just gonna sit down one day, I'm just going to type out these lessons and just make a little study out of it online, and that way anytime they get a chance, then they can just hop on there and read our lessons. And that study is the only one I've written on my blog at this point. I've Beulah made all kinds of studies. I just haven't followed through with them yet. But the one that I did follow through with the completion, and it was purely on divine impulse. It wasn't because I'm a person who finishes things. But it's the I Am study that you will find on my blog if you go there. And right now, actually, some of the links are broken because of some changes that were made. And I need to get that working again. But anyway, complete pure impulse. Only in my impulse was that thing put out there. Because of that Bible study, I got an email one day from an editor, an acquisitions editor, from a publisher, which is David C. Cook. If you've read my blog, you know that that's who I've worked with on my book. He just sent me this email out of the blue and says, oh, my goodness. He just said, have you ever thought about being published? I've read through your Bible study. My wife reads your blog. I really like it. Are you interested in being a published author? I mean, who gets emails like that? I never even dreamed that I would ever get an email like that. And here it is. Everything that I ever thought that I could want since I was a Christian woman, since I believed that God had placed a call in my life to write, anything that I'd ever dreamed of was right there in front of my face, sitting in my email box because of this silly impulse one day to start a blog. And, you know, I used to apologize for that because I know for many people who that is their calling, it's not that easy. And I do not at all mean to make it sound that it is an easy process. It is so not. But I'm going to tell you what. I don't apologize for the fact that my God knows that I am dust. And he knows that I lack follow through in making sure that anything, I would have never, without the pressure from this publisher to get a sample written, to send something into them so that they could evaluate whether they wanted it published or not, had they not pressured me to do it, I never would have done it. I know me. And for whatever reason, the God of this universe gave me a calling and then made sure that I would have the opportunity to operate within it in spite of my dusty, broken-down self and against the flesh that would prevent me from doing anything that he had called me to do. He worked out every one of those details. He orchestrated that, and he made sure that I was able to walk in it because he knew that I was a woman who loves him, who loves his word and desired more than anything to serve him. And so that's my story. I know it's not typical, but I want to encourage you in it because that's the kind of God that you serve. That is the kind of God who holds all things together. That's the kind of God who will work in your details and who will not let you miss your calling. He will not let you miss your ministry if you are face down before him and if he knows your heart toward him. Now let's just go ahead and move on because I could just really go on there forever. But here's why I want you to know, you're not going to miss it unless you shrink back, unless you ignore those impulses, unless you dwell on that place of being a Beulah May who doesn't act on what it is that you believe you're called to do, who has those desires but really doesn't know what to do with them. Girls, I'm telling you, the key to stepping out into your ministry is acting on your desires. And when those desires are in line with the heart of God, you will see miraculous doors open. I believe that with all my heart because I've seen that working in my very own life. I know that it will happen for you as well and whatever it is that God has called you to do. And so finally, here we are wrapping up, and thank the Lord we're finishing up just in time. Lastly, rejoice when your dreams and God's will collide. You can rejoice in that. And just like I just shared with you just a moment ago, I used to apologize for that because I felt like maybe I had been handed something too easily. And I know how very hard the other women who desire to write and to speak or whatever it is, if that is your calling, I know how very difficult it is to get into that. And I used to feel so badly about just sharing that story because I thought it might be a discouragement. But I thought later, and the Lord told me, he said, Lisa, women need to know that I'm not going to let them miss what it is that they have, that they've got to follow through with what I'm placing in their heart, and that I'm the one that creates opportunities, that I'm the one that opens those doors, that I'm the one that works in their details, and that I will make sure that they are walking in this place of calling as long as they'll trust me to do it and not try to create that opportunity out of the flesh. I'll never forget, and speaking of rejoicing when your dreams and God's will collide, I'll never forget being back at a Women of Faith event in 1999, and I saw Sheila Walsh, and many of you may have heard of her. I love her speaking. I love her books. But I saw her walk onto a stage. She was sitting in the row of speakers chairs, and this is before I ever had any inclination whatsoever that I would ever try to want to teach, that I would even presume to teach any type of group of women. But I remember clearly her getting out of her chair and walking up on the stage And just the thought just popping out of me from nowhere, wow, she must love her life. She must love what she does. And it's not that I envied her or even dared presume that that's what God was calling me to do. I didn't even know at that point. But it was just that resonating in my spirit that somehow that I would like to connect with women in a teaching setting where I would be able to share God's word and just share what it is that he had laid on me, because I believe that that's what our duty is as women of God, is when God has given us some kind of divine insight, he's given us some freedom, when he's given us some breakthrough. I believe that we're supposed to share that with our sisters so that we can thereby be encouraged. And so seeing her, I don't know what it was, that moment has just always stuck out at me. And after that, it was during those fallen years that God confirmed for me through fire. And I'm telling you, girls, it wasn't an easy calling. God has confirmed my calling through hot coals of fire. He has confirmed a desire for writing, for speaking, for teaching. And every opportunity he's given me has been nothing more than having a desire and acting on it and seeing what it is that he wanted in me. I said before, don't be afraid to test the waters. You know what? Sometimes we're going to jump out and do something, and God is going to bless it. He's going to open the door wider, and we're going to know that we're walking on the right path. There's going to be other times that that door and that path is just slammed right in our face. And it's okay to do that. God is not mad at you if you jump out and act on the divine impulse. He's not aggravated about that. He's going to direct you. He knows your heart. But what he is going to do is going to give you the greatest rejoicing, the greatest euphoria when you realize that you have walked in a calling, when you have done something in his name and for his glory, and that you realize and understand that what you dreamed and what he willed was the same thing, and that those things have clashed and those things have collided, and that they are one and the same, and that your heart and your spirit is in sync. That is my prayer for you girls as I close up with you today, is that you will find that place of rejoicing, and that those two things, your dreams and God's will, collide as you step out into the thing that our God has for you. Let's pray. Father, I just praise you so much for this time with these girls, and I just, more than anything, Lord, I just honor you for being a God who you could have remained far off. You could have saved us and set us on another planet. You never were obligated to call us into a relationship, much less be involved in the details of our lives and call us to a place of being intimately involved in what you're doing among the nations. Lord, there's so many women here today that, Lord, they may not even have a dream right now. They may not even know what it is that you're asking of them. And so for them, I'm praying that you would start giving them a divine impulse, that they would be abiding in you, because I believe with all my heart that your word will give us those impulses, and we will begin to know your heart for us when we are abiding in your word, when we are spending time in it, when we're talking to you, when we're getting to know your heart, and we're surrounding ourselves with people who will also call out gifts in us that we didn't even know that we had in ourselves. Lord, I pray for those who are just confused, those who are scared. I just pray that you will just light a holy fire in all of us, where we will not be afraid to test those waters and to jump out into that ministry. And Lord, just to find that perfect fit, and for when we do find it, for us to know that it's your heart and our will that's in a clash, Lord, and they just combine. And the feeling and the joy that we'll experience because of that. God, I bless your name. I thank you for these women here today. I pray for Kristen as she goes forward in her session, that you will continue this time and it will all be to your glory. Amen and amen.
Thank you, Lisa. Ladies, wasn't that awesome? Lisa, I don't know if you wanted to answer a couple of questions or not, but you're welcome to if you want to. That's totally up to you, though. I don't know
if we have got time, I'm more than happy, or if you think it would be best to wait till after Kristen's session. I'm going to hang around and listen to her as well, and so that is completely up to you. I just don't want to run us over schedule because I know I was just right on time.
Yeah, we've got about 10, 15 minutes, something like that.
Okay, fabulous.
So we can go ahead and do that. So ladies, if you have anything that you would like to ask Lisa, go ahead and put those questions in. And I can totally vouch for what Lisa's saying. There's so many different ways that God, oh, listen to my dog barking. I'm sorry, he's chasing something into the sofa. Just ignore him. I can. Oh goodness, he's playing ball now. Anyway, there's so many ways that God will just use situations in your life and just bring you through different things. I mean, Amy and I never anticipated being an online ministry, and look what happened. Things just kind of develop and happen. And so, just stand firm and just have faith, because it really does. He will take you to it. Oh, look, here we have, I think we've got some questions now.
Okay, let me. Okay, the first one I'm seeing is from Holly. If you girls will just, if you have a question, if you will just put in all caps questions so I can pick those out easily, and I'll just answer those verbally, and I'll do my best to get to this meeting. And when we get ready, Amy, when you need to cut me off, you just tell me it's time, and we'll shut it off from there. And like I said, if there's anybody that wants to private message me, or I'll wait around after Kristen's as well, or if you want to email me, then my email information is on my website. So.
And we can have you both answering questions at the end too. I think that's a great idea, Lisa. So,
Okay. Well, just whatever. Someone runs over on time, so you tell me when to shut up, okay?
I will.
Okay. Okay. First of all, I see Holly. She says, "What do you do when you don't know what to dream?" Holly, girl, you know I love you, and I can't believe that you don't have a dream. That Holly, I'm going to tell you something. This woman is a prayer warrior. I have never met anyone in my life who could go straight to the throne of God and could pray scripture like this woman can. And I know it is sometimes, it is hard to know what to dream. When I was a new Christian, and there's been seasons in my life when. And I'm not saying, Holly, you're not abiding, so don't take this in any way. I'm just saying in general that when I've known the heart of God the most is when I have been most diligent about seeking it, and when I have been abiding in him and just begging him to show me what it is he wanted me to do. First of all, through prayer and his word, I have got every day, my habit is to take a book. I use Daily Light on the Daily Path, and it is simply a devotional that is strung together scriptures that are in like topics. So, for example, if one is, let me just grab it. I've got it right here beside me. For example, if the topic for the day is the fruit of the Spirit is joy, then it may have several scriptures strung together that talk about the joy of the Holy Spirit. How we can have joy inexpressible, how we can be sorrowful yet always rejoicing, just all these things that are like topics that, I just find that when I'm praying scripture, that is when God reveals himself to me most, and I find things come into my mind, into my heart, and desires that will be born in me that I didn't even know that I had. I journal along with those, and it just seems like so much of the profound things that I believe that God has given me and shown me have been in those times of praying scripture and in abiding in him. As far as dreaming, I think that we just have to go back to what our natural gifts are. And if you've never taken a spiritual gift test, I'm a huge proponent of those because that will narrow down. A lot of women just really don't even know what they're good at. You've never had that defined for you. Ephesians 4 Ministries, if you Google that, I should have a link available, but I don't. But they have an excellent spiritual gift test that will start guiding you into particular areas of ministry or different areas of spiritual giftedness so that you can know where to begin to look. And then again, just test those waters. Try some things out. If you know someone whose walk is particularly intriguing to you, or you find that their ministry is something that ignites something in you, go out of your way to talk to them. Find out what it is that, some way that you may could help, or how God has created their ministry for them. I just find a lot of power in camaraderie and sharing with other people that I feel, that have the same calling as I do. We're able to share a lot with one another. So I don't know if that helps at all, but most of my dreams have just come out of pure, again, I hate to use the word, but out of impulse. And I just have to believe that when I'm abiding in God, that those impulses are going to be something that He gives me to follow through on. And before I know it, those impulses are going to become desires that are born out of His heart. The next question that I see is from Shannon Berryman. What do you do about following your ministry calling, but you have small children that make it difficult? That is an interesting question, because first and foremost, I'm going to tell this to say this to you, because I have small children, but we are moving out of the toddler season of our parenthood. But when those children are small, honey, they are your ministry. Your children, though, might make it difficult for you to do something outside your home. If you are not faithfully ministering inside that home to those kids, if they see a mama who is always outside the home taking care of everybody's needs but theirs, they know it, and they sink that in at a, they suck that in at a very young age. And you know, even now, I deal with that mommy guilt of my kids when I have to fly out of town, and my kids are particularly distressed when I fly because it worries them for me to be on an airplane. But I have just tried to limit, for me, you know, ministry opportunities. I have said that I won't travel more than twice a month. I try to remind my kids, you know, now that they're in an older season where they can understand that what I'm doing is something that God's called me to do, but I've also limited it so that it doesn't interfere with our day-to-day life. I don't leave home, my home church, on Sundays. You know, I put limits on ministry, but as far as limiting my family, when they were that small, I really did not do much outside the home when my kids were toddlers, because I understood how very much they needed me at home, and that they couldn't comprehend why it was that I wasn't there, or why I would want to minister to, you know, to women, but not make sure that their very small needs were met. And so I hope that that you understand the heart of that, because I've been in that same place. A lot of times we're at home changing diapers and, you know, feeding the baby food, and we don't feel like what we're doing, it has any kingdom purpose. But God has called us as women and as Christian moms to raise up a generation of believers in a darkening world, and that's a very hard job. And Luke and I, just the other night, as a matter of fact, I was praying and crying to Him, saying, Luke, you know, I'm not afraid of what will happen for Luke and myself, but we're leaving our children, if the Lord tarries, in perilous times. And I want to make sure that I have kids that are prepared for that, and that they know how to deal with those days that are coming. And so you pour yourself into them, and you let those small children be your ministry until they get to a season of life, and you're in a season of life when it's going to feel better to leave them for whatever periods of time that it takes for you to be able to go do whatever you need to do outside your home. Okay, Aurora, I see a question. Can you discuss the need for endurance in ministry? By endurance, I'm going to assume that you mean spiritual endurance. Spiritual endurance, I'm just going to tell you, there are times that both spiritually and physically that ministry can be overwhelming, and especially when the more opportunities come. And I just have to tell you that for my husband and I have prayed through my own ministry, and he's very supportive of me. He will, you know, he is 100% behind anything that I've determined to do, but I never say yes to anything without going to him first. And we have decided together there are going to be limits to what I'm going to do. I don't travel more than twice a month outside of our home. I'm needed in my home. My husband's ministry is primary in our home, and I don't feel like it's right for me. And I'm not saying I've never missed a Sunday. There are, you know, occasions when it's called upon that I've had to. But as a rule, I do not let my ministry keep me from being at home for him on Sunday morning, so that I can attend to the kids and make sure that he is taken care of, and that he knows that I esteem him as the head of our household, and that my ministry does in no way usurp his. And so there is a lot of stress. There is a lot of endurance needed spiritually and physically, but that is where that I would have to say, and again, I say this with all love and respect, for me personally, I have to put a cap on what I'm willing to do and not look at saying no to opportunities as, well, you know, my ministry could really grow, and I've got to strike the iron while it's hot, and I've got to make sure I'm saying yes to everything because I want this thing to be huge. I don't want it to be huge. I don't, I don't know, it may sound callous to say it this way, but it's just the best way I know how. I don't care how many opportunities I get. The size of ministry for me is not important at all. It's that somehow that God would find me faithful with what He's given me to do, and that I'd also be faithful to my family. And so I hope that answers your question, but I don't think there's anything wrong. I think God will honor us putting limits on what we do, even in His name, because we can burn out in His name. Shannon, what do you do about following your ministry calling, but you have small children make it difficult? Oh, I think I already answered that one. Let's see. Okay, Carrie, you say, what if your husband isn't on board with your calling? That could be very difficult. I have a very supportive husband, and he has always been 100% behind my calling, but I also have to let you know that there have been times when he has seen me get overly stressed out, when I've overcommitted myself, and that he's had to be the one to put his foot down and say, hey, you know, this isn't good for you. It's not good for us. You're stressed out. You know, you're yelling at the kids. You're yelling at me. This is not what God intended. And I have to humble myself and submit myself under the authority that He has over our household and say, yes, you're right, and acknowledge that. And that's why I'm very careful for us to be in agreement about what I will take on and what I will not. Now, if he's just not on board altogether, I don't know if, you know, I don't know if your husband if he's a believer, Carrie, or not a believer, or if he just doesn't, for what reasons that he's not on board. But, you know, I would just say that, you know, if he is a man that's a Christ-like example and the leader of your home, that you really need to listen to him and listen to what his reasoning is and to be willing to talk and pray through those things with him. And if he's just adamant that you not pursue ministry but really can't give you any reason, that you would just pray and ask some women that you trust their opinion in your heart towards you to pray that his heart would change. Because I just believe that pursuing ministry of any kind outside of the ministry of family can be a very dangerous thing if everyone is not on the same page. And I don't believe that God ever called us to forsake a marriage or forsake a marriage relationship in his name. It's just not something I believe that he would ask us to do. So that's my answer. Hope that helped. Let's see. I see Lisa's sister, Lisa, just made a comment. I want to make sure that I mention that because it's very important. It was something very important in my life. People will confirm your gift by telling you what they see. That's very much what happened for me. There was one of Luke's professor's wife in college who came to me and told me that she noticed that she thought that I would be a good teacher and speaker because we were in a Bible study together. She saw a hunger for God's word, I guess. She saw something in me that I did not see in myself, and had she not come alongside me, encouraged me, given me opportunities to exercise that gift that she saw that I did not, I may never would have never recognized it. Yes, people do confirm your gift, and I don't think there's anything wrong with praying that God would send people into your life that would speak that wisdom over you and help you to understand what it is that He would have you to do. Through a godly mentor or someone else that would recognize that. Someone asked, what's the gift website to Google? That would be Ephesians 4 Ministries. And you can also, I think, Google free spiritual gift test. It is free. You don't have to pay anything for that, and you take it entirely online. But it's Ephesians 4 Ministries. I see Sherry. Bless you. Y'all already answered that, and I didn't go down that far. Okay. Question. This is from Tabitha. Do you have any advice for a family ministry? We create goodie bags for children and adults with cancer and major illnesses. I think that's a wonderful ministry. And Tabitha, your name is so reminiscent of ministry. I think of Tabitha or / Dorcas, depending on what language we're looking at in the New Testament, who everyone, when she died, everyone was mourning her because of these works that she did out of her home and with her hands to help those in her community. And so if those are the things that you create, goodie bags, children and adults, I'm just thinking off the top of my head, I had a dear friend who lost a son to cancer, and we spent some time at St. Jude's Hospital. And so I think that I would probably begin by maybe contacting some institutions who minister to children and adults in that situation. Just ask them how it is that they might could use that particular offering. I'm sure you would find many ministries who would be more than happy for you to send them those things. So that would be where I would begin if I had that particular inclination. Let's see. Okay, Chrissy says, Lisa, my husband has felt called into a ministry of making crosses. This started from our wedding 7 years ago, but last several months really feels like God wants him to do this. He makes them and gives them with a tract. He is just not sure where God wants him to go with it. How can I encourage him more? Well, Chrissy, I would just say, I mean, that's an excellent ministry, and we all know that, you know, men need to feel needed as much as women do, and they need to feel productive, and men are more likely to, you know, they do these things with their hands and, you know, have different crafty work than we do. I'll say they're different craftily because we make things too, but you know what I mean? They just like all this woodwork stuff. I'm not sure what kind of crosses he makes, but they sound great. But anyway, how can you encourage him? If it were me and I knew that my husband liked that particular thing, I would just try to find outlets for people who needed that particular thing. Again, you might check with your church's outreach ministry. If you have a visitation program, see if that's something that can become a standard gift. You know, it might be that your visitation program gives a loaf of bread. Some do that. Some take baked cookies to people who visit church. Yours might take a tract or take one of these crosses he's made. I'm sure that that would be very special for someone receiving that. So I would just find outlets for him to be able to give those out. And, you know, again, that's just if it were me, if it were my husband, that would be where I would begin. It's just trying to find places that would be interested in receiving those.
All right, we're going to go ahead and stop taking the questions for right now. So we're going to go ahead and test Kristen's audio and things like that and get ready to go into that. You're going to stick around, though, right? You'll be here.
Yes,
after.
I am. I'm going to be here.
Good, good.
I'll listen to Miss Kristen. Miss Hannah Montana.
I know. I was cracking up when you said that. And then I thought about your Barbie dolls. Did you have them this time?
I do have photos of my kids, and I've been looking at their faces because it's so hard just being in your bedroom looking around at the walls trying to visualize your faces out there. So
I know. That's why I love the chat, though. Okay,
yes.
Well, excuse me. All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and put you on mute for right now, and we'll take you back off later. And we're going to test Kristen's audio. Kristen, can you go ahead and test for me, please?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Can you turn it up just a little bit?
Sure. How's that? Better?
Can you ladies hear Kristen? Okay, good. All right. Well, we're going to let everybody take a break. I know that, you know, need to go and maybe tuck kids in or get something to drink or get a snack or whatever it is, you know. Go ahead and do that, and we'll meet back here in about 5 minutes, and we'll get started with Kristen and go into the next session. Oh, yeah, coffee sounds great, but I can't have any. Oh, I miss my coffee. I miss it so much. Well, I was told even decaf has some caffeine, and I've been getting heart palpitations lately, and so it's not real good for me. So I can't have any caffeine. Yeah, I'm going to try some tea. That does sound good. I may have to do that. All right, well, we'll be back in just a few minutes, and I'm glad this is your first webinar. Yes, webinars do rock. And you know what? I wanted to point out, someone said earlier about, you know, having small kids at home and, you know, really wanting to do something. You know, that was kind of where this all happened with Amy and I. When I say Amy and I mean Amy Stoltz. There's two of us. you know, we started this online ministry thing, and yes, first of all, you do have to be careful. I mean, you can't consume yourself with being online. You do have to set lots of boundaries, and we do. But, you know, one of the things that we love about it is that we can do this while being home with our children. And if you want to speak, email us. Tell us that you want to speak. You know, there's different things that we can do and different conferences we could set you up with. If you want to write, I mean, we have several sites that, you know, we represent, whether it's, you know, Internet Cafe Devotions or the Woman Inspired Newsletter. We have Heart of the Matter Online. You know, there's so many different ways that you can get, you know, plugged in. You know, you want, if you want to do newsletters, if you, any kind of way that you want to volunteer, we could take you. Just like Lisa said, you know, there's not a time that someone emails us and says, I'd love to do this, that, you know, we just kind of put them on the back burner. Yeah, exactly. And Exemplify will too. And Kristen will tell you more about that later. And I know once Lisa gets her site up and running and got, you know, completes, you know, that vision with her, then I know that she'll share all that with you. And we'll get her back just to tell you all about that ministry, because, you know, we totally want to support what all of you are doing. You know, what, as far as things that we need, I mean, you can do anything from Twittering or Facebook to, we really need someone to put together newsletters for us. And that's just a once a month thing. You can send it to The Amies, T-H-E-A-M-I-E-S, at awomaninspiredconference.org. Yeah, well, if you do newsletters, if any of you want to try to tackle that project, you just email us. You know, and until recently, I never realized how much we would need help. You know, it just, over the last year, it has grown so progressively. And now that I'm pregnant and basically haven't been able to do much. And when I tell you I may get on the computer for 10 minutes a day, I'm not exaggerating. That's about all I can handle. You know, that's about all I can do for now. And thank you, Rhonda, for putting that up there for us. So there's lots of things. There's so many online ministries that could use your help. And that doesn't take you away from your family as long as you don't let it consume you. And there's, of course, you know, once, you know, the kids are older or, you know, in school or whatever the case may be, then you can step out and do other things. But no, don't ever feel confined and don't ever put God in a box and think, well, I could never do that, because, you know, he'll make a way. He really does. He makes a way for all of us. I can remember being, you know, a mom with really, really young kids and thinking that there was nobody that I could help. And so I just finally told God, if you want me to minister to somebody, then you're going to have to bring them to me. Well, I will have you know that within a month, you know, that I had people knocking on my door, you know, a lady who lived two houses down and, you know, she wanted to talk about different things or whatever. You pray and ask and make yourself available, and he will provide that. He really will. So that's just something to think about. And I just wanted to mention that because it was just on my heart. And, you know, Kristen will talk to you about some other opportunities. And, you know, if you want to serve Lisa in any way, just send her an email. And she is amazing. I love her heart. You know, and she is going to do so many great things. I know it. You know, she cracks me up with her blog, though. Lisa, I love you, honey. You are not my biggest project, I promise. Oh, she's so funny. But really, her Bible study is completely amazing. It made me or helped me understand so many different things, and she is such a fabulous writer, and she has such wisdom, but the way she delivers it is just phenomenal. I mean, that's what makes the difference. So go to Lisa's website.